Morning. Can you hear me? So I think it's about time to start. So my name is Christopher. I work for Microsoft in Stockholm, Sweden. I work as a technical evangelist for the Windows Azure ISV incubation team. That's a team helping software companies moving their products from traditional software as in a box to a service in Windows Azure. So I've had the fortunate to be working with Windows Azure for the last 3 years, or actually 4 or 5 years, but 3 years on full time. This talk today is about Windows Azure mobile services and how you can use those services for your app backend, for your Windows Store applications, Windows Phone applications, Android applications, or iOS applications. I guess some of you have already been to a couple of other sessions. So just a brief voting. How many of you have ever heard about Windows Azure Mobile Services? Have any of you been to one of the sessions before? I'll take it. Some of you haven't. And of those of you that have been to sessions before, there might be a little overlap. Of those that haven't, a lot of things might be a bit new. This session is meant to be a continuation of other sessions, so there might be some things that I don't explain as clear as an overview session. If you want to go back and watch some overviews, I would recommend one from Miranda and Reed that did a session the day before yesterday. That was a Windows Azure Mobile Services overview. Really good one. And then another colleague of mine, Steven Sanderson, did 2 sessions, cloud-powered web apps in minutes and develop native iOS and Android apps with Windows Azure Mobile Services. I would definitely recommend you to go and revisit those as well. Okay. So, today I'm going to introduce you to Windows Azure Mobile Services first. And then I'm going to talk about some of those things that you might need to know when you start developing and go beyond the first tutorials. So you might have seen a couple of demos of mobile services, perhaps on keynotes or some sessions, or done some yourself. But what happens when you go beyond those, when you need to do something more? So I'm going to talk about some authentication stuff. I'm going to talk about how complex scripts can be, both in tables and custom APIs. I'm going to talk about how you can deploy to Windows Azure Mobile Services and handle source control and versioning. So what if you have different kind of versions of your clients and you need one backend? So how can you handle that? I'm going to talk some about, already told that, a custom API, a new feature that's only been available a couple of days. But first things first. What is Windows Azure Mobile Services? So, Steven Sanderson, he did an awesome explanation with Lego figures. Anyone saw that one? Yeah? Really good one, right? Yeah, okay. So, really good one. And so the thing is, Windows Azure Mobile Services is a pre-made backend for your apps. And it's apps of all kinds. It could be web apps. It could be mobile apps running on Windows phones, iOS devices, Android devices, or Windows Store applications running on Windows 8 or the new Windows 8.1 that we saw this morning. It comes pre-configured with a couple of authentication providers. So you can use Twitter. You can use Microsoft account, your Google account, or your Facebook account to log on to those services from your app. You can also use push notifications from Microsoft, Apple, Google. It's all built in. And we have support for storing data in SQL database. That's a SQL server running in Windows Azure. And you can also use whatever other resource there is in Windows Azure from mobile services. So I would see Windows Azure Mobile Services as an umbrella spawning across several other technologies running in Windows Azure. So you can So when you're about to choose your cloud strategy, your cloud technology, I often say, can you use mobile services? Ask yourself that question. Can you use mobile services? If so, then go with that. If not, look at Winsearch websites. That might be helpful. If not, go with cloud services. If not, go with your own virtual machines. So there's a lot of technology there, and mobile services tries to make this really simple for you. So we support, as I said, Windows 8, iOS, Windows Phone, Android, HTML and JavaScript apps. And all of those we provide SDKs for, so you don't have to come up with anything yourself. But if you need to, if you want to, if you have some kind of application that needs to communicate with your mobile services, and you don't have an SDK for it yet, then you can do it yourself, because it's all REST-based and all accessible through HTTP. So let's begin with some demos first. So I'm going to switch to my demo machine. So since so many of you didn't go to any of those sessions before, I'm just going to show you this one first. So if you need to ever create a mobile service, you need to have a Windows Azure account first. And when you do that, when you have that, you can log on to the portal, the Windows Azure portal. And you just say you want a new mobile service, create, and you add a name, you specify what kind of database you want to use, if you already have a database, or you can create a new one, a free one. And then you just click next, next, and finish. So I've done that. I've created a basic mobile demo, mobile services here. When you do that, you get presented with this quick start guide. And it tells you, if I want to develop a Windows Store application, how do I go on? So I can create a new Windows Store application by just clicking on this button here and downloading a sample already pre-made, pre-customized for this backend. So if I launch this backend, this application, I get this to-do item. So I can write here, for example, remember to speak. And I click save, and it gets updated. And at the same time, I can also launch my Android version of the same application here. And if I click the refresh button here, it'll load the to-do items that's saved in the cloud. And it says, remember to speak. And if I add something else, remember to follow the agenda. And I click add. So this is an Android app running in the emulator. And if I go back once again to my Windows application, I'll see that the same information is there. So it's a pre-made backend for your applications. And it comes out of the box with the already done samples for Android, iOS, and Windows, and the HTML clients. So let's go on. I'll just close this one down. So what if we have something more complex? So I have this application done. It's called My Places. So I want to say some tributes to Nick Harris, my colleague in Redmond. So Nick Harris did this session in TechEd USA, America. So you can go and watch this session if you want to. My session is kind of different, but it's about the same. So have a look at that one as well. And Nick Harris did this application for me that I have used for my demos. So this application uses the Bing map to show us where we are in the world. So currently we are at the IFEMA Conference Center here in Madrid. So the idea is to use this application to do some cool stuff. We are supposed to be able to add places. So when I click on the map, I want to be able to add a place and store that place so me and my friends can watch it later on. I want to be able to search. I want to search all places within a radius. And I want to be able to log on with different kind of providers. So to do that, I need a backend. So, back to the portal. I've created this My Places mobile service backend for this. And I've pre-configured it with the client IDs, the client secret, the app keys, app secret, and so on. You can see all these right now. I will change them after this session, so you can't reuse them. But you can see them all here. And if you need these secrets for your application, you need to go to the specific provider of identity that you want to use. So for example, if I want to go to Twitter, I can go to Twitter's developer page and have a look. So it looks like this. So my Places demo application is here. So here's the consumer key and the consumer secret that I've pasted into my mobile service application. And the same thing goes with all other identity providers. Okay, so we have a mobile service backend. So how can I connect to that one? So it's really simple. If you go to the first small cloud tab here, it actually tells me if I want to connect to an existing Windows Store application, I go here, and I get this code here. I just copy it, go back to my application, and in my AppSAML file, I just paste this one in here, like that. And that gives me everything I need to connect to my backend. So you can see that it's already pre-configured with the key for my application and my address for my backend here. So if I want to connect this one and make it able to authenticate, I need to wire up some events for the authenticate when I click on the login buttons. I've already wired it up, and everything terminates here in the login method. So whenever I click on login with whatever provider I choose, I end up here. And it's quite easy to log on. What I do is I ask app for mobile services reference, mobile service, and then I say login async, and I tell the API what kind of provider I want to use. So I just provide the provider that's sent into me to this method. And since this is an asynchronous method, I need to wait this one. So that's about it. Wait. Like that. So if I run this application now, I should be able to log on. Click on the key. I say I want to log on with Twitter. I get redirected to Twitter login services. Enter my username, password. And I'm logged on. Oh, I forgot one thing. So in order to see that we are actually logged on, I need to update this one. So I have a snippet to show the current user. So what I do is I ask mobile services for the current user's ID, and I put that in the text box. So once again. So I log on using Twitter. Like that. And now I'm logged on using Twitter. So one thing we saw there was that even though I did log on, when I started the application the next time, I wasn't logged on again. So I needed to log on every time I start my application. So how can I do to cache the credentials? How can I let the user save the state? So when I'm once logged on, I want to be logged on for a while. So let's implement that one. So, in order to do that, I have developed here a credential locker class. But this is a class I've developed, or actually Nick Harris, my friend. So we're using this password vault. I'm going to resize this one. So password vault is a class available in WinRT. It's there for you to save your credentials or whatever other secrets you might have. And what I do is, when I call this add credential method, I create a new instance of the password vault. I create a password credential object, and I add that to the vault. And as an import to this, I add the token, the authentication token that I get from Windows Azure Mobile Services. And at the same time, if I need to retrieve those credentials, I say, give me all credentials that I have. The first one or the default one is there is none. And I say, retrieve those and also retrieve the password and send those back to mobile services later on. So I'll wire this one up. So inside my main page, once again, I have this login here. Cache credentials. So I will tell you what this does. So essentially what I do, I add the credential that I get from mobile services, so my user ID and my mobile services authentication token. So I'm just going to do like that. And then I have to, I have also a small snippet to forget my credentials if I need to do that by any reason. So then I need to go to my AppSaml file, and when my application starts, I need to get the credentials that I've saved. So what I do here is whenever application is launched, I check for the credential locker, is there any credentials saved? If there is, then I use them, I get them back, and I put those into mobile services current user and the mobile services authentication token. So if I start this one again now, so I'm currently anonymous, I log on with, let's log on with Microsoft account just to show that it works. And I log in. You can see I'm now logged on with my Microsoft account. Stop this one again and rerun it. And I'm still logged on. So we have cached the credential for this user. Any questions so far? Question over there? Can you repeat the question? I didn't. Yep. Yes, it is. So the question is, can I log on with some other identity providers, like from my corporate AD? So yes, it is. And actually, Nick Harris demonstrates in his session how to log on using Windows Azure Active Directory. And I recommend you to look that up, that one up. I will do something similar right now. So I'm going to do a manual authentication with Facebook, and then use that manual authentication with Facebook and put it into my mobile services right now. So I'll show you something similar to that. So if we go back, here I will, in my main page, WAMS Facebook. Sorry about that. Custom Facebook. WAMS, custom Facebook. So what I have here is an implementation how I can use the Facebook SDK for .NET to log on using Facebook and then do an API call against Facebook to ask for what is the current user's movies that he has liked. So I'm going to show you how to do that and log in and show you my favorite movies. So what I need in order to make this happen, I need a Facebook client as well. So I need a session client. This client uses my application ID. That's the numbers you can see down here. And I get those if I go to the Facebook portal and say I want to. So it's this number that Facebook provides you when you are registered as a developer and say, I have a Facebook application. if I look at the code here, how to do the actual logon, what I do is I ask the Facebook SDK to do an asynchronous logon, and I ask for the permission to use to get an email, publish, stream, friends, about me, and user likes. You can ask for whatever permissions you like. You should ask for as little permission as you possibly need, but I've just used this as an example here. I then get the token. I put the token inside a J object, so here, and I then return that token back to the mobile services. So I say I log on using Facebook with that exact token. In order to show you that I'm actually logged on to Facebook and can do more things, so I do a graph request here. So what I say is get task async me slash movies. That returns a list of the movies that I've told Facebook that I like. And I just show them in a dialog. So if I run this one now, and say I want to log on using Facebook, this is not the same login. It looks like the same, but this is essentially the Facebook SDK for .NET that shows me this. And I use my... It's like that. Whenever a speaker enters their passwords, they cannot speak anymore. Save this app. And hopefully we'll see my favorite movies in a second here. No? Did I forget something? I don't know if I forgot something. Oh, I didn't actually wire this one up. So one more time. Let's try it one more time. Sorry about that. Need to do this. Sorry. Oh. So what I forgot to do is that I need to tell my application to use this custom logon. So if the user selects Facebook logon, then I want to redirect the application to use the custom logon here. So I say logon using this custom instead of the ordinary one up here. So one more time, let's try it. So I logon using Facebook. So now it's the Facebook SDK. Christopher, log on, yes, and now we will do the graph API call, and we can see I'm a normal geek that likes the normal geek movies. So what we did was that we logged on using a custom identity provider. So It actually was the Facebook identity provider we used, but we used custom code to log on, and we then attached the token we got to the mobile services and continued to use mobile services as before. Okay? So I'll just do like that. So for a second... So that's about authentication. So I showed you, we have Microsoft authentication, Twitter, Facebook, Google, out of the box, but you can use any other one if you can just pass in the credentials to mobile services. I cache the credentials so we don't have to log on every time we start application. So our scripts. So when you create a mobile service, the first thing everyone does in a demo is that they create a table. And that table is used to save or retrieve data from your application. Attached to that table, you have scripts. So you can write insert scripts. You can write scripts that happens when a user asks for data. Those kind of scripts can be as simple as only one line, but they can be really complex also. So I'm going to do some complex scripting and show you what you can do if you go beyond just the first initial steps. So what can you do in any of those scripts? So essentially, you can do whatever you can do with Node. So Windows Azure Mobile Services is currently powered by Node.js. That's JavaScript running on the server side. So if you know how to write Node applications, you can write that code in those scripts. You are able to access other Node packages, and there are some Node packages already in there as standard. So I'm going to show you today how to use queues and how to use SQL Server to do some complex geocalculations. So if we go back here. So what I want to do is when I start the application here, I want to be able to press on the map somewhere, and I want to save a place. I want this place to be called place one, and when I press add, I want to save that place so I can see it later on. So let's start by doing that. First, I need to go to the portal for mobile services. And I need to go to the data tab and add a table. I add this table called place. And I give it the permission that anyone with the application key are currently able to insert, update, delete, and read data from that table. What this does, except for registering an endpoint for accessing this data, it also creates a table in the SQL Server database that's available behind the scenes. So I actually created a real table in the SQL database running in Azure right now. This table currently doesn't include anything else but an item column, but that's enough. So if we go back now to my application and look at the add, where we add our places. So this is the dialog. When I click add, this happens. So I just collect the information and I save all of those data that's been entered in a place class. And what I want to do here is app.mobileservices.getTable. So I get a reference to a table of a specific type, and I want it to be a place table. And then I want to insert, this is method, insert asynchronous. I want to insert the place. Since this is asynchronous, I need to await this one. Like that. So that is everything I need to do in order to save data in Windows Azure Mobile Services. So let's try this one out. So here we are. I want to save. So let's say we need to save the keynote session hall. It's somewhere around here. Keynote hall. And I press the add button. And if everything works now, that data is saved in the cloud. So currently we doesn't read anything, but it should be saved. So let's look at it. So we have a record here. It says one record. If I go into this table, I can see that I have, just refresh this one, and sometimes the order of the columns are other than I'm used to. So the first item in here with latitudes and longitudes, title, keynote hall, and the description is saved here. So if I were to ask a question for, I want to know what places are available within a radius of, for example, 1 kilometer. It's kind of a complex calculation to do if you only get the longitude and latitude. Fortunately, SQL has a geography type that can help us with this. But in order to use the geography type, we have to go beyond just the first demos. So we need to do something with this. So what I'm going to show you here is that behind the scenes, it's actually a SQL database. So if you go in a portal to SQL databases, you can see that you have a database called exactly the same as my mobile services, with a underscore DB extension to the end. So this database is there, available for us to connect to. And if we look at the servers here, I have one server, and it gets a really cryptic name. This server is currently configured to allow access from the internet. So I've allowed every IP address to access this server. So if you want to, right now, you could grab your computers and try to connect to this database. But unfortunately, you don't have the password, so you cannot access it. So I hear some people want to try down here. So what I will do is I will connect to this database instead. So I'm using Server Explorer here. Add connection. So the name of the database of the server, dot database dot windows dot net. I'm going to use SQL Server authentication because that's the only thing that's possible right now with SQL database in Azure. I'm going to use the username and password that I got to type in when I created my mobile service the first time. And if everything works, I can actually select my database from here. So I'm going to select my MyPlaces database, test the connection. It works. Okay, fine. So I could use SQL Server Connection Manager, SQL Server Configuration, SQL Server Management Tool, or whatever tool I need to connect to SQL Server databases, but I use Visual Studio in this place. So I can look at my tables. I can see I have a place table here, and I can even do stuff like querying it. So new query. So select star from my places dot my dot place, for example. If I execute this query, I get a result directly back from the SQL server. So right now, I'm not going through the mobile services. I'm going directly to the underneath lying database. Okay? So I can see I have the longitude, latitude, and a filter column that I don't longer want. So I'm going to alter this table. So alter table, drop column, latitude, longitude, and the filter. Pardon? So what's the filter column? Yeah. So the question is, why do I delete those columns? So I'm going to delete those columns and replace them with another column instead, with the type of geography. So I'm going to put the same information in the database, but with the type of geography, so we can use SQL Server's capabilities of handling spatial data. Okay? Thank you for asking. And the filter is a property I'm going to use soon, and I'm going to explain that one soon. So if I execute this one, and once again select, you can see I've removed those columns. So now I can add alter table. Add, and I will add location of type geography. Like that. Run this one. We can see we have a new column called location of type geography. And just to clear everything, I will delete everything. So we have an empty table here. Okay? So in order for this to work, what would happen if I would try to add new places to this table once again? I would actually add new columns because we have this dynamic feature that adds columns if you need them. So we've got a question over there. No question? So I need to do something in order to this for make this happen. So I need to alter my insert script. So if I go back to the portal once again and look at my mobile service called MyPlaces and the data, go into the place and look at the script here. You can see this standard script that just says, take whatever request that's coming in and execute it. I'm going to change this one, and I've already done it. So I'm going to copy some code here. So I'm going to, like that. Something is incorrect. What am I missing? Oh, it's... Is that correct? Copy once more, just to be sure. This one, and I want to remove this. Okay. There we go. So what I've done is that instead of using the ordinary script for insert, what I will do is I create my own SQL command. I do an insert into place, and I'm going to fill the columns title, description, city, country code, location with the values that are passed into me, except for the geography column, the location, where I ask SQL for the, I'm using the method stPointFromText that actually takes a latitude, a longitude, and transforms that one from a text format into a geography type. And the text format I'm currently using is 4326. There are different kind of formats to specify a geography location. So the current format I'm using, latitude, longitude, it's called 4326. That's why this number is here. So I ask SQL, convert this text into geography data and save it. And then I just execute a query and enter all those parameters in. And if everything goes according to plan, I write in the log that the item was added to the table. I'll save this one. So when the script is saved, I can go back like that. I can go back to the application and once more run it just as it was. So this time, when I click and I say this is the keynote hall, press add, it works. I can go back to Visual Studio or the portal. I can execute my query once again here. And we'll see that this time we have saved information in another format. So the same information is there, but instead of using latitude and longitude as columns, we use the location as a geography type, and it's saved right here. Okay? So now we need to do some querying. We need to find out what places are within a close radius. So what we will do is change the client first. So in the main page here, I have query places, and I have a snippet for this one. So what I'll do is this is an asynchronous, I need to sync here, put a sync, and this one should go away. So what we do is we say mobile services, give me a reference to the table places. And then I add a filter where I say, let the filter be such as select only where filter property is equal to filter, and return it as a list asynchronously. And the filter property is something I create by just combining the location. So I combine the latitude, the longitude, and the radius. So the radius, combine those three into text string, comma separated text string. So that will pass that information to my mobile services. So back to mobile services, once again. And instead of looking at the insert, we're going to look at the read script. And I also have this script here already prepared. So paste this one in here. So what we do here is, if there is a filter property going in here, we need that one. If so, we split that property by comma. So we get out the longitude, latitude, and the radius. And then I create my own SQL query, where I say select ID, title, description, city, country code, and so on. And I select the location.latitude as latitude, location.long as longitude, from places where location intersects with, and then I use this other method called stPointFromText. So I create a point, and I say, wherever this one intersects with, if there is any place within the selected radius, then I want SQL to return this one. And if everything goes according to plan, I execute my query here, and I just return the result here. So save this one. I go back to the application. And let's see, let's close this one. So I think we're ready to go. So I start the application once again. And if I select, I want to see every place within 2 kilometers or 1 kilometer. I now see one place here. That's the conference, the main conference hall. I can put another one out here called second place. And another one outside of here. Third place. And the third place won't show up because it's outside of the radius. But if I increase the radius to 2 kilometers, we will see the third place here. Okay? So what I did was, I took something quite simple. I could save the places, really simple. But I want to use the capabilities of SQL Server. So I transformed the latitude and longitude into geography type. I then used SQL's capability to work with spatial data and ask for every place within a specific radius and return that one. So I'm just going to look at my cheat card here. So hang on. Any questions so far? Question over there? Is it possible to get the source code afterwards? Absolutely. I will publish this one on my blog, and I will, or on the session's homepage. I'll make sure you get it. Question? So the question is, the script that I did in the browser is Node.js? Yes, it is. So the question is there any way to put the script up on the mobile services without using the browser? And I'm really glad you asked. You can give the free prize afterward. So thank you. So yes, and I'm going to show you that in a second. So you are actually able to put code up there using Git or using the command lines that are available. So I'll show you that. So if I come to a conclusion that even though mobile services seems really good, it fits my needs, but I want to do something more. Perhaps I want to calculate the route between all those places. Perhaps I want to do some really complex calculations that's only available in C#. I have a C# library or C++ library or whatever. I need to communicate outside of mobile services. Perhaps I want to do something asynchronously. I want to put a message on a queue that I will then use to work to do some calculations later on. Can I do that? So yes, you can. So I'm going to show you how to put a message on the service bus queue. So first, has any of you heard about Windows Azure Service Bus and Service Bus queues? So there are 2 queues available in Windows Azure. We have this thing we call Windows Azure queues, and we have another thing we call Windows Azure Service Bus queues. You can choose whichever you want. So in this scenario, I've used this Windows Azure Service Bus queues. And if you go here to the Azure portal, go to Service Bus, you can create your own namespace. And when you have created a namespace, this namespace is called My Places, you can create your queues. And here I have a queue called New Places. So whenever anyone puts in a new place in my application, I want a message on this queue so I can handle it from somewhere else. So let's put that code in there. So once again, I'm going to copy some code and I'm going to tell you later on what I did. So this one, copy that. So I go back to my mobile service and the data tab and my table, and look at my script and the insert script. So whenever someone puts anything in here, I want that to be exposed in a queue as well. So here's this code snippet I've done. So it's called send message to queue. So what I do is I'm using the Azure package that's available in mobile services. To be able to do that, I need to acquire it or require it. So I write var Azure equals require Azure. That's Node's way of telling me I need a reference to the package called Azure. So down here in my method, what I do is I say, give me a reference to Windows Azure Service Bus. I do that by providing my namespace name and the key for the owner of this namespace. I then create this queue if it doesn't already exist. I create a message. So this is where I fill the message with the information that the user has provided. I just send it to the message queue here. Send it to the queue. Not the message queue. I send it to the Windows Azure Service Bus queue here. And I log if it succeeded or not. So I'm going to call it from here. So at the end here. Send message to queue. And I send the item that's put into me by the user. So when I save this one, it's really nice that if you press Control S inside the web application, it actually saves exactly as it does in Visual Studio. So it's really good. So what I've done now, I've edited the script. So whenever someone adds a new place, it will put a message on the queue. So if I go back to the application, it's already running actually. So I can continue to use this one and I add a new place there, and I will add one here. It's the airport, like that. So if we now go back to the portal and look here in our service bus queue, we should see that we have a length of 2. So there are 2 messages on this queue right now. So what kind of application can I use to read those messages? I can use whatever language I want to, or whatever. It could be hosted wherever. I could use something hosted in Windows Azure as a service, as a web role, as a work role. Or I can use mobile services for it as well. So what I've done here is I have, in my mobile services, I have created a scheduled job. So scheduled jobs is a script that you can schedule to happen once in a while in your mobile service, or you can use it for testing or for once in a while scripts that you want to run. So this script here runs whenever I tell it to run, and it does the same thing. It acquires a reference to the service bus and to the queue, and it then says receive message on the queue. And the information within the message is then put to the log. So if I run this one, it will retrieve those 2 items, hopefully. And if I look at the log, it says here, message received from queue. And if we look at this one, this is the message on the queue. It's a malformed JSON. I think JSON has added those backslashes. That's why it looks so strange. And we have the airport here. I should see airport somewhere. Anyone see the airport? Somewhere there? Second row. I can't see it. There it is. Thank you. So this is the message about the airport place that I added. So you can use mobile services to fetch those messages back. But if you want to, you could use something else. So let's add a couple of more places. So just going to add some. We can actually add other ones up in Stockholm if we want to. And then if I go back to Visual Studio, I actually have another application here. So I have a console application that does the same thing. So this one is using C#, not Node. So I'm using C# here to connect to the same queue and retrieve those messages and just print them out on the console. So if I run this one instead, we should receive those two messages here. And we see the title is Stockholm on one of those and just the default one on the other one. So you can expand mobile services with other services. You can build your work roles that processes your messages or connect to an on-premise system like this one. So any questions about scripting and how complex they can be? Yes? So I need to repeat this one, and I need to repeat the first one thing you said. So the demos are really cool. That's so, and the second thing you said was, can you scale out? So yes, absolutely, you can scale out. So mobile services is available, has the built-in functionality to scale out. So the question was regards to how is this actually going to scale? So if you go to the scale tab here. So currently I'm running on a reserved instance. So I'm running on one instance. What I can do is just add up to 5, 6, or I can even add more if I want to. I can upgrade this one to premium and go even higher. And this will change what kind of hardware I'm running this on. It will scale for me automatically, and this is something I can change over time. So I can change during, if you have an application that's really popular during lunch hours, I can scale out during lunch hour and then go back down. So we have, since a couple of weeks back, we have minute pricing in Azure. So you pay for each minute you use something. So if you scale and you only use it for 5 minutes and scale down again, you only pay for 5 minutes. So yes, it scales. And if you don't find the performance you want in mobile services, even though I think you will, but if you don't, then you are free to use a virtual machine running whatever other operating system you want, Windows, Linux, or whatever, in Azure. Or you can just, as I pointed out, you can use a worker role in what we call a cloud service to process those items really fast. So these kind of, so mobile services is kind of new. The service bus queues and the Azure queues have been there long time and are used by really big systems right now. So the performance you should get is really high. Another question over there? Yep. Okay, so the question is regards to the REST services that are beneath mobile services. Are there any limitations with regards to size of incoming requests and outgoing as well, I guess? So I don't really know the limits, what the exact numbers are. But your question was also about, can you upload files and so on with these REST services? And you absolutely can. And there are, if you go to windowsazure.com, you'll find examples how to do that. The way I would do it is I would actually use another service within Azure called Windows Azure Storage and the Blob service within Storage service. So I would actually point my clients to the Blob service and upload the services and upload my files directly to the Blob service. And if you do that, the limitation is like terabyte big. So the question is, do I then have to manage authentication multiple times? So the answer is kind of. So we have this thing called signed URL identifiers that you can use for blobs and queues as well. So what you can do is that whenever an application needs to send up a file, it first requests a URL, a signed URL, that says, give me a URL where I can upload my file to. And that URL will be unique for that user. You create that URL on the server side, It's a unique URL that's only available for a limited time, and then the client puts the file to that URL, and it's only available for a small amount of time, and then no one else can use it. So I will go on. But good questions? So, the other question we got about deployment. So when you get to this kind of scripts, they're getting kind of big. So how big scripts do you really want to write inside your web browser? Can you deploy in some other way? So yes, you can. And how can you handle versioning? So quite recently, we opened up for Git deployments in Windows Azure websites. And it's also available now as a preview in Windows Azure mobile services. So you are able to use Git to deploy your application code directly to mobile services. There's also this tool called Azure CLI. That's Azure Command Line Interface or Azure Command Line Tools. That's tool written in Node, actually. So they run on all kind of operating systems, as long as you have Node. And you can use those as well to upload your code. Upload and download your code. So I'm going to show you how to implement some versioning and how to deploy your code. So back here. So in the portal, what you can do if you have a completely new mobile application, mobile service, you go to the dashboard and you say under quick glance here, you can click on this link, says set up source control. What that will give you is a Git repository inside Windows Azure that's available for you to push to or clone from. So I've done that one in advance for my place here. And if I go to configure tab, I can see my Git URL. And I copy this one. Just a question before I continue. How many of you have used Git as source control? So are you the other ones? Are you using TFS or something else? Yeah, someone else. So Git is currently the only source control mechanism we are supporting for deployment to mobile services. There probably will be other ones soon. So what I do is I start PowerShell here. So this is a PowerShell and I've installed Git. Just going to create a folder here. Let's call it take, I can't spell, take ed 13. So an empty directory. So what I need to do now is clone my repository from Windows Azure to back to my local machine. So I say git clone. I can give the name of this origin something a name, so I can call it Azure. And I put in the URL that was available to me in the portal. When I press enter, I will be asked for my username and password. This is something you put in the portal when you ask for a Git repository the first time. Now, Git will download my source code to my local computer. So now I have it here on my computer. So I can go into my places. I can look at service. I can look into the table directory, and I can see I have place.insert.js. So I have, if I show that one, this is the script we've been working with so far. So I'm going to show you two things at once here. So this is how you can download and manage your code. And now we need to do some changes to it. And I want to tell you about versioning. So what I would like to do is I would like to add So what if you have multiple versions of clients out there, and some of those clients behave differently? So what I would like to do is, if I have a client that uses version 2.0 of my application, then I want that client only to send the message to the queue. If there's a 0.1 application version, then I don't want to send the message to the queue. So what I can do is edit this code. So I can edit this one with Visual Studio or Notepad or whatever. So if I edit this code, I will edit it with place. So I opened this in the Visual Studio Editor. So down here, so to send message to queue, I want to put an if statement in front of this one. So if, and let's see, if you can see up here, I have a request incoming parameter. So if request.query, I just need to look at my parameters. If there is a parameter called version and request dot parameters dot version is larger than one. If so, oh, I always forget, then send a message. So if not, else just write to the console. Let's say application version is one. So no message sent. So essentially, what we are doing is that we are adding script that tells if there is a parameter with a version information, if that version information is larger than one, then do something. If not, do something else. So this could be much more complicated. You could have your script return different kind of results depending on different versions of an application. But this is one example how to handle this one. So I save this file and back to my PowerShell command. So what I will do here is I just say git add dot, that essentially tells git to add whatever changes I've done. I will commit those changes, git commit with a message, version information, version logic added. So I need to add a message. So I've committed my changes to my local repository right now. What I need to do now is push those changes back to Azure. So I do a git push Azure master. So that tells, I don't need to write all this, but this tells git to push back the information from my computer back to the origin that we called Azure and use the master branch. I will once again be asked for my username and password. And if everything goes according to plan, my new script, my changed script, is uploaded here. So if I look at this, one again, data and the script for insert, we should have this one down here. So we have deployed from Git, and we have something that looks for a version parameters to be passed in. So how can we pass in a parameter to this REST request that gets done? So if we look at back here in the add my place SAML file here. So what we're doing to add things is that we say get me a reference to the table called place, and then we say insert a sync. So how can I add some parameters? So the good thing is that mobile services is flexible enough to have room for handlers. So we have implemented a handler called version handler here. So this is inheriting from delegating handler. And essentially, we are overriding the send async method here. So whenever we send something to mobile services, we look for the URL and look for the query strings in there. And if there is a version, if there, essentially we are adding the version information here. So I'm adding version number 2 if I add this to this handler. So let's run this one once without and once with. So I will add a place here, like that. And if we look in the portal now, in the logs, we should see application version is 1, so no message sent. So let's add that version handler. And we do that in the AppSAML file here. So there is a place here to say new version. So essentially, we're just adding a version handler to our declaration where we declare our mobile services variable, whatever. Can't really pronounce that one. Sorry. So when I start this one again, and now if I add something, here's a lake. Add, and if I look at the portal once again, refresh this one. So message sent to queue. So now we have a way to handle different versions of clients. With so we can have different actions going on the server side with different versions of the client. And we pushed back the code using using Git. So any questions before I continue? Question? Yeah. So, question is, if I'm not so comfortable using with Node.js, can I use another mechanism to use another kind of language? Can I call another web service or something to do the code in C# or Java or whatever language I'm comfortable with? So the answer is yes, you can. And thank you for asking, because I'm going to show you that in a second. But essentially, yes, you can. And a couple of days ago, we actually announced that we are going to make mobile services available with C# as a scripting language as well. So if you hang on, it'll be there. For now, you have to use Node inside mobile services, but you can call to other services as well. So let's go straight on that one. So what if we need another question? Sorry. So the question was, okay, so the question is, can I get my program to change itself? Can I do it like self-changing program? So the answer is, yes, I can. But I have not tried it yet, because everything that I've done so far can be done through code. So you can do everything, you can automate everything by scripting or API calls. So essentially, you could do an application that invokes and changes itself. I haven't done it, and I'm not really sure what kind of actions you need to take. But it would be really interesting. If you do it, tell me how you did. Okay. So we're going to create a custom API here. So this API is going to be called address info. So custom API is a new feature available in mobile services, that if you are working with some kind of data that's not specifically stored in a SQL database table, you can create a custom API instead for that. So essentially, you create a REST endpoint, and you do whatever you want with that So what I do here, I create a new custom API called address info. And in this case, I will allow everyone to access this one. So I don't even, I'm not even going to provide, it's not even necessary to provide the application ID or to be logged on. Save this one. And we're running out of time somewhat, so I'm going to shortcut this demo somewhat. So address info is now an endpoint that I can invoke through get request, HTTP get request if I want to. Just going to copy some code here. So inside this method, I can write whatever Node.js code I would like to. This code could call out to other services. And I will actually do that by pasting in this code. So what I have here is that I've actually pre-installed on this mobile services by using Git. I used Git and I used the Node Packet Manager, so NPM, Node Packet Manager. And I said NPM install MapQuest. You can see that one installed already here. So if I can see that I've pre-installed MapQuest package. And I then deploy that one back to Azure. So it's already there. So what I do within my script is I request, I require a MapQuest. And whenever there's a method call coming in on the get, an HTTP get request coming in on this URL, I will take the latitude and longitude passed in as query parameters. I will use them to call out to MapQuest's reverse method that essentially are calling their service on the internet and returning what address is located on that IP address. So I'm using it for a reverse lookup. I could use Bing for this, but I want to show you how to call something outside of Azure, outside of Microsoft entirely. So if I save this one, like that. And now I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but I'm going to use Chrome, because Chrome has this really neat feature of formatting JSON. So I have this URL saved here. So if I call to my place here, let me see the URL up here. So my place .azure-mobile.net, WAC API, WAC address info, and I pass in latitude and longitude in the as parameters up here. I can see that it actually does a request to the mobile service that in turn does a request to the MapQuest reverse lookup service and returns that we are currently in Madrid. If I were to look up another address in Stockholm, this is the Royal Castle in Stockholm, it looks up that one as well. So if I want to use this one inside my application now, I will go into my add place here. And if I press the button lookup, I want to call this method. So I say invoke API asynchronously, call the API, custom API called address info by get, and I'm passing in a directory of string, and that contains the latitude and longitude. And as the result comes back as a dynamic type, this I use dynamic type here. I parse out the admin area 5 and admin area 1, and put it in the dialog. When I run this one now, and let's say we want to add, so it's someone from out of town, name a city somewhere. Copenhagen. So let's zoom in on Copenhagen. So add a place here. And if I press the lookup, it looks up Copenhagen using this latitude and longitude. So I called from my client to the mobile services service that in turn called the MapQuest reverse lookup service on the internet, returned the data, and added it to the dialog. And when I add it now, it's saved in my SQL database. And since I'm using version 2 of this application right now, I also send message on the service bus that can be received using whatever service I want to build out my application even more. So that is essentially what I wanted to talk to you about today. So what we have talked about, we talked about custom authentication providers. We talked about that you are able to use Active Directory as authentication provider. Look up Nick Harris' session from TechEd America to see a demo of that one. We talked about how you can cache your credentials so you don't have to log in all the time. We talked about how to use Facebook and interact with Facebook by manually logging on to those first and then attaching that token that we got from Facebook to your mobile service client. We also talked about complex script, and I used the complex script to use SQL's features using spatial data and ask for what places are within a specific radius. And then we used Git to deploy and download the code. We used versioning to handle different kind of application versions. And we also add a custom API and call that one and show that we can call out to other services outside of Azure, outside of Microsoft's known area. And that's about it. I really want to tell you all, remember to fill out the evaluations. Be honest and make sure you do it. We really use that one. So any questions, I will be here and ask those questions offline. So thank you very much.